Hey, welcome back everyone to the Aquila podcast, everything and anything related to fitness. We're on episode 23, and this episode we're going to talk about the day in the life of a fitness professional. So Randall, what is it like for you this past year? How has your training differed from pre-COVID to now?
I think the biggest difference is a lot of us, especially our department, you and me, we started to work from home, and a lot of people did for a while, and then commercial gyms started to open up later, so they got to get back into the gym doing what they do. But for us, being home, the biggest difference is we basically had to do everything online, from training sessions or group classes on Zoom. So that's been the biggest change for me and you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's been, from my perspective, like it's been strange because when I first got to the facility last year, I was there for 3 weeks in the office, and then we had to go home, right? So I didn't yep. really get to actually really train with some or have my own clientele yet because I was still like learning the ropes and stuff like that. But what I usually do first with the training client, like if I gain a new client or someone has an inquiry about it, I set up a Zoom session, like just to talk, like just a meeting to talk about their overall goals and if they have any medical conditions or past injuries and what home gym equipment they have. And I can make a program that conforms to their goals pretty much. And if they do have access to the gym and if they are comfortable going to a gym, then I can make a program that involves the machines and other equipment there. But yeah, I usually train with them, along with them. I probably don't like train like super, super hard, but I show them correct movements, make sure everything is, the form is correct and things like that. How does your training sessions typically go?
Yeah, so a lot of them, on the first couple ones, I've kind of, just because of the amount of group classes and if you have multiple training sessions in a day, trying to do all of them could get pretty tiresome. So I've tended to kind of just show them the exercise and then kind of verbally cue them. I haven't done as much with them, especially once they get the hang of a lot of the exercises I use. Then a lot of it's just verbal cueing and a lot of them doing it on their own and me kind of just sitting there analyzing and watching and kind of just calling directions as I see fit. So I'm a little more of the passive watch and just to direct kind of trainer, at least online. In the gym, I feel like everyone's going to basically be the same. We're not really normally working with them in the gym. It's just at home, it just feels like we feel like it'd be more engaging if we did do it with them at home.
Yes, I agree 100%. Like when I first started training with people working virtually, I did it all the time. And you're right, it did get very tiresome when I had multiple in a day, along with the classes. And classes, I definitely want to train with them while talking. It's pretty tough, but to be more engaging, I feel like I have to do it. Because I did teach a couple classes before COVID, and I usually did it with them. Not as hard, but I feel like to be more engaging, like you said, to do it with them and show them how to do it correctly. It's hard, but I don't mind it too much. I like working out with them and showing people how intense it should be and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then when it gets to the group classes, at least in person, it just that it'll probably come down to like the style of class. So if you're doing like everyone's doing the same exercise at the same time, then at least half the time you're going to probably be performing it with them instead of you kind of just, it's kind of one of those classes where you do it with them and then you kind of just start to walk around, make sure everyone's doing it right, kind of just encouraging them. Or if you have like stations where everyone like alternates between stations, you don't necessarily have to do any work for the most part, mm-hmm. just because everyone's doing their own exercise, so you can't really just do one exercise and everyone focus on you because they're all doing their own different thing.
Yeah, so, I do. Like the station aspect, like I like the station format a lot, but it's pretty hard. You can't really do that now, like for virtual.
Yeah, right now we can't. No, definitely not.
It's like, yeah, it's virtually, no pun intended, not possible. So, but yeah, usually, what kind of format do you usually do for crazy cardio? Because a lot of my clients, they could do your class, not clients, but the participants that come, they do your class and immediately come to my class right after. And they really,
oh, really?
It.
Wow.
Yeah, like most of them, a lot of them actually. Because yours is like 11 something. Then I have my ab thing. So, yeah.
That's actually a good bridge in between classes. So yours is what, abs?
Yeah.
All right. So it's not like the most intense class, but abs does get pretty tiring. But
for 30 minutes, it gets pretty rough.
Yeah. For crazy cardio, all we really do is, I kind of inherited this different style of cardio recently where I let them kind of freestyle in the sense for about 30 seconds, no more than a minute at a time, where I let them kind of self-regulate their own cardio from, they could literally choose anything. They could be jogging in place, high knees, butt kicks. They could skip around. They could do burpees for all I care. They could do jumping jacks. Whatever their imagination comes with, whatever they don't mind doing. And then after that 30 seconds to a minute, I'll like call out an exercise, whether it be lunges, squats, any jump squat, any, or I'll even do like the basic high knees, butt kicks, anything that will like kind of have everyone do it at the same time. So we'll do that for like a good 30 seconds together. And then after that, we go back to our freestyle. Mm-hmm. And as an instructor, I find it's kind of, it's easier on the instructor as well, which is why I kind of like it, where I only have to direct them for half the class technically, when half the rest of the class is there doing their own thing. So we go between them freestyling, whatever their mind comes up with for 30 seconds. We do an exercise together. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to freestyling. Then we go back to an exercise together. So it kind of lets them push themselves as much as they need to, or kind of, if they aren't that great in shape, they can kind of just self-regulate. So if my exercises were too hard, they could take those 30 seconds or whatnot to kind of let their heart rate calm down a little bit, because not everyone's going to feel the same effects of 10 lunges on each leg. Some people might find that easy. Some people might be dying right after it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that format where there's a freestyle part in it.
Think that's cardio really for fun. Cardio purposes, it's pretty easy. It's more effective for cardio, just because cardio is a very, very versatile form of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I kind of, with my classes, I kind of make sure, because people, when people come to the class, they want to get a work, like a really good workout. Obviously, they don't want to be nonchalant for 30 minutes. So I make sure we work almost all the whole time, with little breaks, so they have the max calorie burner they can have and fat burn they can have. So I guess some classes get pretty intense. I'd say the kettlebell, recently when I started doing that, that one's really taxing for me, to be honest. It's pretty tiring. And but I think the ab one is also pretty hard too, but not as cardio intense, obviously. It's more the abs. But yeah, it's usually what I like to do is 40 to 45 seconds of work and then 15 to 20 seconds of rest in between exercises. And we do how many rounds, whatever it is. Usually it's to 25 minutes. And then we do like a finisher with like an ab or a upper body finisher, something like that. And that's usually 30 minutes of good work.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, for like when I do dumbbell classes, that's a pretty straightforward. We just do a lot of supersets together. The good thing about when I do dumbbell class, I'll probably only have like 5 pounds in my hand, so I could actually do it with them, but I'm not really working out too much with 5 pounds. So
yeah,
it's more for demonstration purposes.
Yeah, I'm thinking getting some smaller weights, because I have 30 to 40 right now, which is 40 is a lot. I don't really use that in classes because that's a good amount. I usually use 30s, but definitely want to go back to down to like 20 or 15 just in case I get, especially on like Thursday is like my most booked day. Like, do you have a day where it's like super, super packed?
I'd say for the most part, I think my days are mostly balanced just because I have a lot. Most of my clients are, they like to go multiple times a week. I have two clients that like to basically go every day, and they take the same slot every day. Mm-hmm. And all my classes are centered around early afternoon into the later afternoon. So they're kind of like between 10 and 2. So between 10 and 2 every day, I'm relatively busy. But then before or after that, it's kind of here and there, kind of more the computer work.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So for the clients that aren't able to like make these classes or find the time to like train with us, another thing we do a lot is, or it's not what I personally do for me, but it can either be for a lot of trainers at other gyms or online trainers, where making a workout program is probably the next thing people usually do or think mm-hmm. of yeah. when it comes to a personal trainer. For those people that can't work one-on-one or individually, or if you're offering a service, sometimes it's cheaper just to kind of ask someone for a program to do versus training with them, which gets a little more expensive if you're doing like those individual trainers outside of gyms. So that's probably like the next thing people focus on or do a lot.
Yeah, I haven't had too many people that wanted to do just this. I just want a program and that's it. Most people, most of my clients, we have a workout program I made together, and we still train together periodically, but they do have exercises that I give them when I'm not with them. They just still like to have someone like watch and have more motivation, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is some people that just want a program and they don't want any training or anything. They just want a program and that's it, which is cool. I'm fine with that. And if they need tweaking, we can talk about it. So, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, and another thing we like to do, or at least in our facility, is we have these incentive programs. So you came up with one the other month. I just finished up having a squat goals, trying to essentially enhance, improve your squat in a matter of a month's time from mobility to strength. And which one was yours a couple months ago?
Yeah, so mine was, what was it called?
Cardio, an upper body something?
It was like a HIIT thing. It was, oh, cardio with a twist. Yeah, cardio with a twist. I thought it went really well for my first incentive program I made, and got a lot of good feedback. People enjoyed how it was pretty challenging, but people can modify it to their fitness level. So if it's too easy, then they can, you know, add the reps or rounds or whatever. I thought that the incentive programs are just a great way to get everyone involved into that challenge and maybe gain another client or something like that. Or people that haven't really worked out and they see a program like yours, like the squat thing, and say, hey,
yeah,
and get back into the saddle and start working out again. How was
there's usually a common theme to them to kind of like get a certain particular amount of clients or to accommodate a certain clientele, or if just to like pique the interest. Like when you have a theme, people kind of know what to expect, and sometimes it's like a lot different from our classes, or it's something they could do on their own, so it's a little more, it kind of interests them to like give it a shot at their own, and they can do whenever they want versus a class where classes have a specific time, so now they're able to kind of do something on a daily, weekly basis and kind of have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. How did your squat challenge go?
It was pretty good. Improving a squat can take a little time. So within a month is, if you're consistent, that's probably the main thing about squatting is the consistency. So I think a couple of the people who participated weren't as consistent or just had a couple more limitations than others, because a lot of it's anatomical and a part of it is strength levels. So they had to build into it, but I think it went pretty well. We had a handful of people. I think a lot of people would say they have a good squad, so I didn't get the most people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people think they have a good squad, but they might not necessarily actually do. But still got a good handful and had one person progress to single leg squats, which was pretty cool. I don't think she was able to do a full on unassisted pistol squat, but she at least got the chance to practice it, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's huge. Pistol squats are hard, like, for anybody. They're pretty tough. I haven't done them in a while, but it'd probably be good to get back into them, especially with kettlebells and stuff like that. They're great. So moving on to the next part, maintenance of equipment, which is really, it's a number one priority in the facility, which we are not right now.
Yeah, so essentially we'd, ideally, in a ideal world, a lot everyone would basically clean their equipment after using it. Not everyone does. And even when people do, there's like the rough corners, the edges behind the machines, under the machines and whatnot that needs cleaning still. So that's what we do. We're there to kind of make sure the equipment is up to par, make sure it's dust free. So anybody who comes in to use it, they're going to have a good workout experience versus having to see dirty equipment and kind of being turned off and unmotivated to use it.
Yeah, it's a good key word, being turned off by the gym. I have seen gyms where no one's taken care of, you know, weights and racks and those, like, dust, like you said, and dirty. That's huge. That makes, doesn't make you want to work out. So cleanliness is extremely important. And putting weights away when you're done with them all as well.
Yeah, so that's a big important part, but pretty straightforward. Another thing we do is we make articles, newsletters. So it's just another little way for us to engage with clients and our clientele to kind of provide information on a weekly basis on things nutrition-wise or fitness-wise to just give them something to read about, so they are, at least if they're not working on their fitness, they're at least reading about it, thinking about it, trying to apply it to other parts of their life, maybe using some information for a future workout.
Yeah, it really is. I really enjoyed doing the newsletter every week, adding something for any type of thing, whether it be like the weight room or a new tidbit you learned from doing a certain workout routine, and just sharing the information of what the fitness of your fitness knowledge and explain to people, just to expound upon and explain what is the best, what's going on in the fitness world, I should say, and inform people the correct way. Cause there's a lot of misinformation, like we talked about in the last podcast.
Yeah. And it's good for like us where it just keeps us on our toes. Kind of like the next thing we also do is like podcasts and webinars where we talk about any topics. We talk to multiple people at once, trying to either have a little demonstration or just a little lecture on a new topic. But it allows us to kind of keep us on our toes. It lets us kind of do more than just work out or show people how to work out. It shows that we know what we're talking about. It shows that there are more, like, there's more ideologies to fitness than people would think. There's a lot deeper stuff, so it gives us a chance to kind of talk about it, brush up on it. Because if we don't like think about it too often, we just get stuck on just the amount of weight we lift, the exercises we do, then we're just forgetting about a lot of these things we have learned.
Yeah, the superficial aspect of lifting heavy, like you see on social media, like you said, how much you lift, how fast you can run, stuff like that, which is cool and all, but there's a lot more underlying importance of fitness, and the podcast is a really great way to, or to a great platform to reach a wider audience and explain the, like, debunk the myths of fitness and teach people like some of the science behind why you should do this and not this. It's really great. I'm glad we were able to do the podcast.
Yeah. And we just did a webinar, a stretch break the other week, where we basically just had a little demonstration for people who are stuck in the office for most of the day on how they kind of get moving for a quick 10, 15 minute workout they can do in a very limited space. And I demonstrated a little stretch routine they could apply in the very limited space they would normally have. So just a lot of different ways for us to kind of reach and be able to teach people different things.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to teach people like a quick desk workout, which you don't really think of things like a desk area being a workout, a place where you work out. But sitting like all day on your on your computer is not very healthy. Just even like you said, like the stretching and the workout periodically throughout the day is a huge difference to your life. And I thought it was pretty cool that there was a lot of, there's like what, 60 some people in there, maybe 50.
Yeah, good amount of people.
So that was cool. And it was great. A lot of people were really appreciative. They like to learn. So definitely fun time.
Yeah, and the last thing we essentially do on the regular is just our personal workouts. I feel like you got to practice what you preach, or at least look the part. So finding at least 30 minutes, an hour a day to kind of do your own personal workout, or at least apply things physically, then it just allows you to do it with your clients that much better.
Yeah, that's huge. I do enjoy making a personal workout every day. Sometimes I do plan it. Other times it's just, okay, what can I do today? And even if I do work out with my clients or have a tough class, I'll still work out because I just feel like I need to do it. Try to challenge yourself.
Especially when we're in the gym, we usually would take like a good 30 minutes, hour break just to hit the weight.
Yeah. I do miss that. Like just being able to hit the weights. If you have a little break, work on form, like, and practice what you preach, like you said, and show people like, if you do this, then you can reach these goals or you can lift this much weight.
Yeah. It's fun. It's good to be able to use yourself as an example for your clients, to be kind of like a blueprint to show that if you are consistent in doing a lot of these things that I do, chances are you'll get similar results to the way you did.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great word, blueprint. And I like to preach a lot that consistency is the key, because a lot of people want to get fit like immediately, and it doesn't really work like that. Unfortunately, then everyone would be fit if it worked like that. There's no shortcuts. But if you're new to fitness and you just, if you find a trainer and do a workout program for a month or two, you'll see the difference dramatically, and then that will suck you in and want to do it for a long, long time, rest of your life, pretty much. I see myself working out every day, not every day, but most all my life, pretty much, because I just feel like I have to do it. You know, you feel that?
Yeah. So that's essentially the day in life of a trainer, and I think not just us, but a lot of trainers basically follow these same few things that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, there might be some trainers that don't, but there is definitely podcasts out there. Some trainers do. Maybe they don't do webinars, but they're virtually, it's the same thing. You know, we're making workout programs for people, training them, all that good stuff.
Yep. All right. It was a good episode 23. I hope everyone has a good week, and we'll see you guys next week.
Stay safe, everyone.